Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the big stories today as we were out on the ground at Camp Caserio, the first day of training camp, and indeed, Clint, they did trot Deshaun Watson out there. But before so, Nick Caserio, the general manager, he gave an update of where the team was with Deshaun Watson.
You know, I'd say on Deshaun's situation, I know there'll probably be a lot of questions about that. I would say my comments about that are he reported for training camp the other day. I know the league put out a statement about where they are in that process. And again, I think from our perspective, it's a day-to-day endeavor. You know, we're going to take the information. We're going to process that. We're respectful of everybody and everything that's involved. So we'll kind of take it one day at a time. And, you know, ultimately we're going to do what we feel is best, you know, for the Houston Texans.
All right, and that was prior to practice, and then following practice, the head coach of the Houston Texans, David Culley, gave an update after practice with Deshaun Watson.
Has not been a distraction at all. He's been a very professional about everything, just like all the guys that have been here at all. It's just been business as usual. Now we're just going to make sure when we feel like he's ready, we'll give him some more reps.
All right, you were out there. You watched it just like I did. Describe what it was like as Deshaun Watson participated in a training camp that we were skeptical he would ever do.
Well, it's really hard for me to get to a place where David Culley says we'll watch the film and we'll get him some more reps, essentially. It's really hard for me to see that was the plan based off of what I watched. I mean, Deshaun Watson came out of the locker room with no jersey on and a hoodie, and I don't know, 10, 15 minutes later, which, by the way, everybody else came out with the jersey on, 10, 15 minutes later, I don't know if he was asked to put the jersey on or what, but he puts the jersey on. He went through He went through quarterback center exchange, which is normal at all practices. Kind of start that way, and then went through all of the individual drills in a manner of which he was the number one or the number two. There were two quarterbacks going at a time. It was Tyrod Taylor and Deshaun Watson. After they got three or four reps, then Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel would jump in and get their reps in individual quarterback drills. In other words, while they were working their pocket movement or they were working certain throws, throwing to stationary targets, which were coaches. And then when they went into individual drill with the receivers of routes on air, where the receivers are throwing routes, you're just throwing an individual route with a receiver, no defense, on air, just play and catch essentially with the receiver moving. Deshaun Watson, again, took reps next to Tyrod Taylor. Then once the team drill started, Deshaun Watson either was next to what appeared to be a coach or was on a knee watching. There were times in practice where he was on the other field playing a scout team safety, playing scout team running back. I did not walk away from that practice thinking, okay, Deshaun Watson, the quarterback that led the league in passing last year, the Pro Bowler from last year, the franchise quarterback for the Houston Texans of last year, just needs a little bit of time to ramp up, and they're going to give him more reps tomorrow. I didn't view that the same way that David Culley viewed it, obviously, and I just simply have a very difficult time thinking that that's the case with Deshaun Watson.
Clint, I walked away from it thinking, I wonder, is this what they were looking to accomplish? Like you talked about it a few times yesterday. We talked about what's the end game in these decisions.
Yep.
But there's got to be some reason.
What it's
like,
always
what
about.
What are you trying to get at the end? What are we trying to accomplish? And I'm like, is this what they wanted to accomplish? Like him looking like, and I'll say this right now, Clint, just as a fan of the player, I'm talking about the fan of the player. Deshaun Watson has been my favorite player in the league. I told you that when I first got here. I never want to see him on a football field look like that. I never want to see Deshaun Watson just look like he'd rather be in Antarctica somewhere. I mean, Deshaun looked, I've never seen him look like that. Disinterested.
Very disinterested, disengaged, very defeated, very flippant.
Let's just get this over with.
Yeah, and look, I think it's a combination show of I think there's a level of embarrassment of not only are the Texans going to run me out here, but look what I've done. I'm embarrassed of whether he's guilty or not of all the legal issues he's in the middle of. It's an embarrassing experience for that player, and here he's got to trot out in front of all the media, in front of the team, and things of that nature. So his body language to me was very, very different than what we've seen in the past. But it was understandable, and I'll be honest with you. I expected it to be a tough get through for Deshaun Watson, to be completely honest with you. And it was from Jump Street. You could tell it was tough for him to get through. I'm sure there's a level of ego involved of what the hell are they doing with me, and I'm sure there's a level of embarrassment involved of, man, I'd rather not be here in front of all these media, in front of this team right now.
But tell me, man, how hard is that? Like, I'm just like, I know you. You're a jovial, like, upbeat person. That's just normally how you are. Just imagine how it would be like if you had to try to force yourself to turn you off, to turn that off. Like, Deshaun is always, he is the guy, as you would say, we go in the cafeteria, he's got people around him.
Yeah.
He is a guy that people want to be around. And when he's out there, he's always having a good time. Like, he had to turn it off.
Yeah, it's always been about getting better for him personally.
Yes.
Every single rep. It's always been about making the team better with every single rep and leading the way in that charge. And today,
he had to make himself not
completely turn it off. And that's tough to stomach. It's tough to get through. And it's exactly what we watched. And I just, back to our original point, I don't think it was anywhere remotely close to what David Culley said it was, in a sense of we'll watch the film and get this player some more reps when we see it's time. I don't think that's what's going on with Deshaun Watson at all, based off of what I saw. If that was the intention, it was a poor ass effort of getting that accomplished.
One thing that we did see is he is still clearly the best quarterback out of the bunch.
Oh,
whatever
no
they.
Doubt.
Whenever they do
that'll make
throwing
you sick.
Drills, that part is, you could see a different snap when he throws it compared to everyone else. I'm sorry to report that, but it's still the absolute truth.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the trade deadline comes up in a couple of days. I think 3:00 Friday is when the trade deadline for Major League Baseball ends, and we've said the Astros need to make some moves, and they've got to fix that bullpen. And we thought James Click would do it. It started yesterday by making the very unusual in-series trade where the Astros traded, and I can't believe Dusty went along with this, traded Abraham Toro, one of Dusty's favorites, and right-handed pitcher Joe Smith for right-handed pitcher Kendall Graveman, who has an ERA under 1 in 30 games for the Mariners, a big-time get, one of surprising get that the Mariners, who are still in it, are giving up crucial pieces in their bullpen. And a right-handed pitcher, I believe, who just got sent down, Rafael Montero for the Mariners. They get those two back in return, giving up Toro and Smith. And then, Clint, about 30 minutes ago, this is a deal that's not official yet, but the Astros have an agreement in place to send minor leaguer Brian De La Cruz, to Miami Exchange for Yimi Garcia, who is currently the Marlins closer. So they've added three arms, two real arms in Graveman and Garcia to that bullpen in front of Ryan Pressly. So these are moves that James Click is making, and he still has until the 30th. To finish things up, but he's added three arms to that bullpen.
You know, we hadn't heard the details of the Yimi Garcia move yet, but it you know, the fact that he's been able to address some issues in this bullpen without subtracting pieces from that bullpen. I know Joe Smith was part of it, but when you talk about it, appears, whether we agree with it or not, it appears that Dusty Baker and James Click are hell bent on Paredes and Abreu and. What's my man, big man that we really struggle with?
Oh, Josh James.
You know, they're hell bent on them young guys being a part of this organization moving forward. And so my point in saying all that is they were able to add some pieces without subtracting or without having to move some of those younger pitchers that they that they appear to be wanting to give every opportunity to make this team. So
you think this is it? You think James is done?
No, I don't think he's done.
You all don't think so?
What's interesting, show, is like we know the GM Click, he said, owner said, go for it if you want. You can go over that luxury tax, spend the money. these three guys Click has gone out and gotten so far, they're only going to make less than $2 million a year for the rest of this season. So there's plenty of room with the pocketbook. I don't think he's done.
Yeah, I mean, with the maybe Graveman show, but I mean, like, this don't.
That's a big move.
It's a big move for a guy that's one of the better relief pitchers in the game right now. But is that a, and I'm asking you, I'm asking you, is that a, all right, World Series or bust move?
Well, I mean, not for me. We're moving better. We feel much better about our bullpen. We'll have John Heyman on, who reported the Yimi Garcia trade.
Yimi,
first.
Boy, we had some fun with that.
Yeah, he reported
that
trade.
That's T-shirt worthy. If Yimi comes in this thing and starts ripping, oh, it's over.
But see,
Yimi some more.
Yes, that is good. That is really good.
That just hit you.
Yeah, that's
great.
You
didn't think about that?
No, I didn't think about it. Oh, Yimi some more.
Yeah. Boy, he really don't like when you give me credit for my ideas.
I know.
He doesn't like it.
You know that was obvious when you said a T-shirt printed. I mean, I knew
Show,
that's exactly where you were going.
You have good ideas sometimes, too.
I go to hell.
Sometimes.
I mean it. Go to hell or go to the next
one. Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right, so one of the biggest stories in the sports world yesterday is continued today, and it does have Houston ties, and that is Simone Biles yesterday who withdrew herself from the team exercise, the team period at the Olympics as they won the silver medal. She still later in the week had individuals, actually next Tuesday, the individual all-around competition where she could win more medals. She is now withdrawn from that as well, and she is withdrawn from all competition at the Tokyo Olympics to focus on her mental well-being. So that was a wonder. Was she going to continue to compete in the other events that she was in? And this shows even more. Clint, 5 years these guys prepare and for her prepare for it, and there you would think there has got to be something really triggering her to give up all that training and not compete.
Yeah, look, this is one that it would have been very difficult, I think, for Simone Biles, even as great as she is, to live down had she bailed out of the group work, the teamwork,
and then
participated
in
the individual. You know, if she'd have participated, she'd have crushed it. So that would have been one of those that would have been very tough for a lot of people around the world to stomach. And the fact that she's bound out of the individual all-around gymnastics competition at the Tokyo Olympics, I mean, that just tells you, she's like you said, she's got some things on her mind. She's got some things that she needs to work through. And
Like you said, man, this is the equivalent of you at Arkansas stepping out of the SEC championship game and then stepping out of the national championship game. Like, you would think there's got to be something.
Yeah, and look, I just hate the comments about, you know, this is the greatest of all time, and that she was carrying the weight of the world on her shoulders and all that. All that stuff's irrelevant. If she's got an issue and she's got something on her mind, she got the freedom to address it however the hell she sees fit. You know what I mean? I mean, it doesn't matter that she's the greatest of all time. It doesn't matter that she had the weight of the world or the country on her shoulders. I mean, those are all great things. Those are all things that she's embraced in her time. Ultimately, I mean, she's a human being, and she's got issues that are causing her to withdraw from what she's prepared for years and years and years to do. I mean, let's just respect that and move on.
One of the narratives that was pushed around by some of the top brass of the Texans, one of their own players out of his own mouth said, "Nah, that ain't the case at all." Completely went left to one of those narratives. We'll let you hear from him himself coming up now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stoerner and the Show.
All right, John Heyman, who broke the Yimi Garcia news, he's going to be on with us at 3:35 to let us know more about potentially what deals are out there and if the Astros are going to continue to make moves prior to the deadline on Friday. So John Heyman, one of the best in the business, will be on with us. One of the things that David Culley and Nick Caserio, both the GM and head coach, One of the narratives they tried to portray and push today was, hey, there's no distraction. It's all business as usual. Here's David Culley, the head coach, earlier talking about what it's been like with Deshaun and how, no, it's been all good.
Has not been a distraction at all. He's been a very professional about everything, just like all the guys that have been here at all. It's just been business as usual.
Just business as usual, Clint. Nothing.
At all. It's just been business as usual.
Nothing, baby. Not Ed Warner, who ditched Cowboys camp to be here.
Yeah, the NFL Network had a rep out there.
Yeah, Sam Weiss. Boy, man, he looks good. God, dog, if I could look like him. If I could look like him. I saw two men today.
Hold on, Joe.
And when I get to my 60s, believe Sam, maybe Sam's a little, not as old as 60s. But Lovie Smith, the defensive coordinator, if I could look like that.
Great beard,
at
too.
The hell with the beard. The body, at however
Lovie
is.
Yeah, he's built
is,
well. He takes
built.
Care of himself.
Sam, if I could pull that off in the next 30 years, I'll be a happy fella.
I didn't know Sam was that old, but okay.
Maybe I'm pushing Sam. Maybe Sam's just in his mid-50s. Sam's getting up there. He's been around. But anyway, hey, it's all good. Business as usual. That's funny. Okay. Because we felt like it's a distraction. Everything we're seeing, everything it's about, you kick off a press conference and the first 12 questions are all Deshaun. You're like, both of them are salivating for the COVID question. Like, and who's ever looking for that because of the Deshaun question. Here is David Johnson, someone I'm always linked to. Here is David Johnson, potentially starting running back for the Houston Texans, and his feelings on the Deshaun Watson situation and where they are.
Yeah, you know, honestly, there's always been talks with Houston, you know, with the trade last year, with COVID, with the coaching staff. You know, I just want to play football and really focus on playing football and not too much on what's going on off the field, especially if it's not my if it's not something that's going on with me personally. You know, that's Deshaun's business and what he's going through. So I don't want to, you know, speak on that. You know, I just want to really speak on what's going on with me.
Right.
And everything going on with football in Houston this year.
I just want to play football. I don't want to speak on any of the Deshaun stuff. I just want to play football. Like, you could see, I mean, that's one of the first things that he was asked. Brandon Cooks was asked is, the Deshaun thing. And you could just hear him right there, man. Like, I'm ready for it to be over. I just want to play ball.
Well, he was asked specifically, are you ready to get beyond all of this? And he said, yeah. I mean, yeah, I am. I mean, ultimately, that's kind of how that thing went there. And there's no way, show. I don't need to hear it from David Johnson. I don't need to hear it from Brandon Cooks. I don't need to hear it from anybody out there. There is no way, zero, none, zip. There's no way to couch the Deshaun Watson situation, whether he's there or not.
Yes.
The fact that he's still a Texan, it's a distraction. The fact that he's reported Sunday was a distraction. The fact that he was in meetings, Nick Caserio told us, been in meetings, that is a distraction. The fact that he was at practice today, it is a distraction. I don't care how minimal of a distraction you may or may not think it is, there's no way to paint the picture of it not being a distraction. It does when your general manager spends 15 minutes talking to the media and half of that time is ducking and dodging questions about Deshaun Watson, that's a distraction.
Yes.
When your head coach, who is not capable of navigating these kinds of issues, when he steps to the mic and is visibly and audibly struggling to answer questions, a barrage of Deshaun Watson questions, it is a distraction. That coach.
What do I do?
That you're doing the best you can. You're doing the best you can, Bob. But that coach needs to dial in and focus on the players that are going to be in the building. The players that are going to be in the building long term. That general manager needs to focus in on those things at the very least. You know, Pep Hamilton is at practice. He yes. needs to be talking to Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel, not Deshaun Watson. It's the media frenzy.
You can't say that's not a distraction.
There's no way, there is zero way that you can couch this as no distraction, business as usual, let's move on. It's just not possible.
And when you, I mean, when you get it, hear it right there from David Johnson himself, I'm ready to move on. Here, Brandon Cooks, he spoke to the media, and the first question he got was a Deshaun question. And listen, just listen to his demeanor and his voice. This is Mr. You know what I'm saying? Listen to his demeanor and voice on his response to the question.
I'm not answering those questions. I'm not. I know he wouldn't want me commenting on that, so I'm gonna leave that alone.
Like, you can't tell me, guys, that like, you've been in there. Like,
that's actually the way you handle it. So then, because he did that right there and wasn't asked another question.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't best interest of the team. It wasn't. You know. It was clear cut. I ain't answering it.
You know what?
That's it. Yeah. I know exactly what.
But
you're
you
saying.
Can tell he's over it. Like nobody wants to do that. Like nobody. Like everybody who one of the players who has to do media is like, okay. I know my Deshaun. I got to have my Deshaun answer ready. That's the first thing that I got to get ready, and that just gets old. So I mean, you can't say it's not a distraction. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Now we've said this from the jump that Davis Mills is the most important thing that the Texans need to figure out and see. That's exactly what they need to see. And we thought, like, with Deshaun Watson being there, is there any chance that it in any way hurts Davis Mills or it hurts the development of Davis Mills? Day one, Deshaun being there, did you at all, from your opinion, being a former quarterback in this league, look at that and think there was some points there where Davis Mills was potentially, I don't know if hurts the word, but didn't get what he should have gotten because Deshaun Watson was there.
Well, look, I mean, I think it's common sense that if you spend 20 minutes at practice, which I think that's probably low, I think it's probably more like 20 or 25 minutes, but it's if you spend 20 minutes at practice of individual and routes on air, and Deshaun Watson throws as many balls in individual and routes on air as Davis Mills throws, probably more, but if he throws as many, it's a missed opportunity for a quarterback that should be in the fold for playing time at some point this year, and his development is one of, if not the most important thing for the Texans in this year, which look, priorities are all out of whack. There's no doubt about it. But there's I don't care who you are, there is a priority on Davis Mills' development. Whether you think it's from the jump he starts or midway he starts or week 10 he starts, or hell, even if you think he doesn't start at all, even if you just think he's a third-round draft pick and you'd like to see him play into the future of the Texans somehow in the quarterback room as a first- or second-string quarterback, the development of that quarterback is extremely important. And I'll say, with Tyrod Taylor starting for
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, you got breaking news, Tyler Milner. What do you have?
Yeah, man, we kind of knew this was coming, but it is looking to be official here shortly. The Packers are trading a 22 sixth round pick to the Texans for Randall Cobb. Houston is also expected to pay $3 million of Cobb's salary to facilitate the deal. That is coming from Tom Pelissero.
So they had to pay. They got a sixth round pick, which is, I guess, a six-round pick, and they're paying $3 million. They're paying $3 million. They get a six-round pick back. They get Randall Cobb out. I guess that's a win.
Hey, Rod gets his guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think this would be
a win for the. I'm talking for the Texans.
Oh yeah, I think this is a win for the Texans. I think this is. I mean, getting out of that contract any way that you possibly can, you know, and moving on from Randall Cobb, I think was a big time plus. I think it was very easy to see that whether you like the guy or not, there was no way he was going to help you long term with this football team. And there's no doubt about it. The contract was an absolute disaster that Jack and Bill put in place. So yeah, I think any way you slice it, this is going to be a win. I know there's some people out there who probably not like having to pay $3 million of the salary and only getting a sixth round draft pick. But for me, look, I think it's a major win just getting out from underneath that particular player and that particular contract.
Just reported from Tom Pelissero, NFL Network. Just once again, the Packers are trading their 2022 sixth round pick to the Texans for wide receiver Randall Cobb. Sources say And Houston is expected to pay $3 million of Cobb's salary to facilitate the deal. And Aaron Rodgers gets his man. He gets his guy. So that is the latest. A deal that we knew was coming finally came. All right, John Heyman, one of the best writers in Major League Baseball and reporters and newsmakers. He's already broken one Astros story today. He's going to join us, and we're going to see if James Click and the Astros will be making any more moves to add to this team. John Heyman coming up next.
That's why I feel sexy.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, joining us now, joining the show is our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. John Heyman, you just reported a potential deal for the Astros as they'll make a trade for the Marlins closer, Yimi Garcia. Is that one that you're pretty positive will happen? And what is it that the Astros will be getting with Garcia?
Yeah, I mean, Garcia is a good competitor. He obviously got that closer job after they tried three or four others. He fit it. I mean, that's now two closers that the Astros have acquired with Graveman. I mean, Graveman was one of the best two or three closers in the league this year, and Garcia has been solid as a closer. So they have upgraded their pen quite a bit with these two moves. And Montero, so... their pen looks very good now.
John, do you think with this move that the Astros are done adding arms to that bullpen, or hell, adding any new players leading up to the deadline?
Well, I mean, we still have close to 50 hours to go to the deadline. So, I think I wouldn't write anything off. They've obviously been very active and aggressive. And, they've addressed their biggest need to this point. So, they don't appear desperate to do anything, but I'm sure there's continuing to talk.
All right, John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider. So do you think these are moves that many people were thinking about Craig Kimbrel? Do you think these are moves that solidify their bullpen? And if they didn't do anything else right now, they would be in good shape to have a bullpen that could potentially get them to the World Series?
I mean, yeah, they have three guys who have been closing and doing pretty well at it. So that's a pretty good position to be in. I would think at this point they probably aren't going to get Kimbrel too. I mean, to get four closers. I mean, Presley's a pretty good reliever. Graveman has a 0.6 WHIP and a 0.8 ERA. So they certainly wouldn't seem to be the logical team for Kimbrel. There are many, many other teams much more desperate at this point.
All right, John, with that, you said they've got now three closers. Who would be the closer? Do you think it still would be Ryan Presley out of these three?
I think it would be. I mean, he's the incumbent. He's a very good pitcher. You don't normally supplant your guy if you like him. Looking at the stats, Graveman's been as good as anybody. So I'm sure it's something to monitor, but I'd be surprised if they replaced Presley as the closer.
What about the fact, John, that they appear outside of Joe Smith moving right now? I don't know if the details of the Yimi Garcia trade those have popped yet, but it appears that they're going to keep the young arms that they've obviously been unhappy with out of the bullpen. But just from a sheer number standpoint and depth standpoint, they're going to have a hell of a lot of options out of the bullpen. Do you see that in any of those guys in particular playing into this role deep down the stretch here?
Into what role are you talking about?
Well, just being a factor in the bullpen. They got a lot of the Josh James is still out there. They're talking about him being healthy sooner rather than later. Anoli Paredes, we've seen him. Obviously, Abreu, we've seen him. All of these guys can't pitch. I mean, somebody's got to fall by the wayside. Do you see any of those guys that stand out in your mind that could be the guy to stick?
Those are talented guys. I wouldn't give up on any of them, but, obviously they've traded for three relievers, so I expect them to have prominent roles at this moment with Presley. You've got Graveman as your second option. Yimi Garcia, Montero. I mean, they're in excellent position with those guys being at the forefront, I think.
What about Ryan Stanek? Hey, look, I'm an old Razorback. He's an old Razorback, so I'm a little biased. I got to admit here, Heyman. But what he's had some struggles this year, man. And I think some folks around here may be on the verge of giving up on him. What do you think about Ryan Stanek and how? I mean, how big of a role do you think he plays down the stretch?
Well, I mean, he's a talented guy, very hard thrower, who's been good in the past, certainly was for Tampa Bay. I wouldn't, again, give up on him, but, you know, they've acquired three guys that they obviously like now at the deadline. So, I'm seeing Graveman having a very prominent role, probably being the setup man to start. I would think Garcia would have a prominent role. I mean, Stanek is a big strikeout pitcher, so I still think he'd have a role. I don't think he's done that badly. I'm not sure who's really criticizing him, but he's done good enough that he's going to be a part of the pen. But at this point, I mean, you've got to give it to Presley and Graveman as your top two guys.
All right, John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider, is with us. My partner here, he was really all about, let's get Max Scherzer, bring him in. And there have been thoughts about the Astros looking at starting pitching. They've been linked to that. Is that something still out? Because these aren't expensive ads, these moves they've made. And the owner said he wouldn't have any problems going over the luxury tax. Is there potentially a starter out there? How serious should Astros fans look at that?
Well, I know they're one of the teams in on Scherzer. To me, it looks like it's a competition between the three teams in the NL West. I mean, it seems like those are his favorites at the moment, and he's got the 10-5 veto rights. So I think we're looking at the Padres, the Dodgers, and the Giants. The Astros, I don't think they've been ruled out. It doesn't appear like he wants to go to the New York teams. Some teams that are maybe on the cusp of the race, not in the middle of the race, maybe he wouldn't go there. But, I think any contender is going to be interested in, I haven't heard the Houston's out of it. They did come up with Verlander when Houston was not his first choice at that moment. That was a situation, though, where Verlander was high paid and people were kind of balking at the contract. And probably other teams made a mistake because obviously Verlander did very well, helped bring you guys a title. And, it could be a repeat for Houston. Certainly wouldn't rule it out. But at this point, he prefers to go to the three West Coast teams. All three are in on him. It's not the same situation as Verlander because everybody's in on Scherzer at this point. I think they maybe went to school on what the Astros did with Verlander and saw that it's worthwhile to get a great veteran arm down the stretch and not to worry so much about the salary.
All right, John Heyman, we appreciate you jumping in with us. I know you got a busy, busy time leading up into the end of the trade deadline, but we thank you for stopping by and giving us that information.
All right. Great talking to you guys.
All right. That was our Sports Radio 610 Odyssey MLB Insider, John Heyman. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real, proven analysis. Bet smarter and bet the books. Download BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. So he broke the news on Yimi Garcia.
Give me some more. Give me some more of them cold coolers light
said,
over
like
here.
That's what you're going to start doing. Give me some more.
Give me a silver bullet. Give me one of them bullets over there, boy.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyler, give me one of them bullets over there, boy.
If I had one to give you, I would.
You heard me, you young buck.
I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can wrangle up some cold coolers light.
Give me two of them so I ain't got to scream at you again for a while.
Wrangle up, yeah. They've got two new closers. They've added closers to their team, and with Baez coming back, that's what you needed. Like, I would have been the vote for it. Let's go for it all and go get Kimbrel. But this makes sense. When you start to put Baez, Garcia, Graveman in front of him, and now Stanek is a guy that's probably in front of those guys, and Christian Javier, you can fool around. Now you have some real weapons and guys that can get big outs in the bullpen.
Well, so I think you got some options. Look, you got Ryan Presley that can close. Kendall Graveman, according to John Heyman, is a guy that you would think would be the perfect setup guy for Ryan Presley. I think 6-1 way, half a dozen another. Ryan Pressly's been an all-star setup guy in his career. So whether he stays the closer or Kendall Graveman, because regardless of how they use the Graveman-Pressly combo, I think the key here, Show, is between the starter and those two guys, the options have changed in a major way. Right now you got Yimi Garcia, you got that's Ryan Stanek can be considered in that fold. Like you said a while ago, who'd you say was coming back? Baez?
Oh, yeah, Pedro Baez.
Pedro Baez is coming back. I mean, you've got
coming. We've never seen him yet.
Right. You've got some options there, man. So the bullpen, the look, the new look Astros over the next few weeks, you got to think is a welcome sight, and we'll see how it all unfolds. I know Graveman and Pressly, if Graveman's got some really, really good walkout music, Then he's I'm gonna be a big fan.
Well, I love where your head is. Text in 713-572-4610. What would be really good walk up music for Kendall Graveman? All right, still the big thing today, Deshaun Watson, he made his debut at Texans camp, Camp Casario. And David Culley, the head coach, he spoke to the media. We'll let you hear that right now. He kicked things off with people wondering, was he surprised that Deshaun Watson was here at training camp?
Well, we expected him to be here, just like all the other people that was here. And we were no surprise. So it was just business as usual with everybody here.
What's the thinking behind him? Are you concerned about the distraction that this does? Or
has not been a distraction at all. He's been a very professional about everything, just like all the guys that have been here at all. It's just been business as usual.
David, but Deshaun wants to be traded.
Deshaun is a Texan, and basically he's here. Everybody's here. Everybody's required to be here. Everybody that's under contract is here, and they're all here. And basically what training camp is for right now is for us to find out. I got 50 different guys on this football team that wasn't here last year. And when we come in here and to focus on what we need to do during training camp, then that's what we're doing. And everybody's here, and that's how we're approaching it.
What's the thinking behind him participating in positional drills but not participating in 11?
Well, he was not here doing any of our off-season program at all. And when he came in, we basically decided that we wanted to, when he's ready to do what we feel like he needs to do from a standpoint of, this is a ramp-up period. And, you know, we don't want to get to the situation where we're having him do something that he's not ready to do right now. And we decided that the individual period was the periods that we could get him in where nothing happens and moving forward. And we'll make a decision on that.
Physically ready, or he just doesn't know the offense?
No, it's just that he hasn't been in our system yet. He hasn't been in this during the off season, and so now we're just going to make sure when we feel like he's ready, we'll give him some more reps.
Deshaun Watson led the NFL in passing last year. He made the Pro Bowl. He's a franchise quarterback. Are you saying that he needs to learn how to run the scout team?
No, I'm saying
that helps him?
No, what I'm saying is, I'm saying right now is that this is training camp. You know, we've gone through an off season. The good thing about this past off season was we at least had to go for 4 weeks of guys going through the off season and getting ready to play. So when you come back in, the league now has got us doing a ramp up period right now where no pads. We got to go for 4 or 5 days now without pads to make sure that we get guys ready for camp. And basically, that's what we're doing right now with him because he didn't go through anything.
Excuse me.
Well, he's healthy right now. We know a little bit more right now when we come back and watch the video of where he's at, and we want to make sure that tomorrow when we come back out, if we feel like we need to give him some more reps, we'll give him some more reps.
So could he start for you this year?
Excuse me. Right now we're in training camp, and that's what we're trying to do. There is no starters right now. Okay, you know, everybody's competing for a job right now. I expect everybody out here that's competing right now, everybody's not going to make this team, but everybody out here that's right now doing training camp has got an opportunity to make this football team, and that's what training camp is all about, and that's what we're doing right now. Excuse me? That was part of the individual stuff that we decided that he was going
to
do.
Excuse
me, right now we're in training camp, and we're going to go through this process. I haven't seen these guys in pads yet. So we need to, you know, once I get into next week and once we get to see these guys, and like I said, again, we got 50 guys on this football team, but we got to decide to see where we are and what our team is going to be all about. And that's what training camp is all about. And I've been so excited about that to this point, just to get them to this point, because this is the first time we've had everybody here on the football team. And now we get to see.
What's your evaluation of
first day of camp? The enthusiasm was unbelievable. And let me tell you where that started from. That started from last night when we got in our meeting. When I walked in that meeting, they wanted to know why I was so happy. I says, I'm happy not because I see all your faces. I'm happy simply because all of you here. Because some of your faces, with the way you came in, with the way these beards and whatnot, shoot, I mean, I wouldn't even want to look at you. But I'm so glad that you're all here. And I was excited about that last night. And this morning when we came into we had our team meeting before we came out on the football field, I felt the same way. I felt the buzz. I mean, I felt the buzz for my first time being here, my first time being a head coach. I mean, I felt like I was getting ready to play a game. But I understand this is training camp. We're trying to find out who we are and what we are.
So, David, is your goal for Deshaun then to be competing for reps in training camp?
Excuse me again?
Is your plan then for Deshaun during training camp to compete and earn reps to...
Our plan right now is to go day to day. We'll look at the video today. We'll see what we're doing. We'll see what we got going in tomorrow. And then we'll see from that standpoint what we need to do moving forward.
Can you describe how he's interacted?
Oh, he's been great. He's been just like everybody else. He's been strictly a pro in everything that we're doing, just like everybody else on our team has been. I mean, no distraction at all. You know, again, we have a saying in there right now on our wall that we put. It's got team on it. It's got nobody's name on it. And in the very back, we got the Texas emblem, the Texans emblem back there. And basically, when we're talking about what we're trying to accomplish in training camp and what we want to do right now, it's about the Texans. And it's about team. And that's all. And everybody understands that we're in training camp. Training camp's a time where you create camaraderie, where you get to find, where the guys get to learn how to trust each other, those kinds of things. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're focusing on right now. And after the first day, I feel great about that. Excuse me? You know, right now in training camp, the only thing we're focusing on right now is getting this football team ready. And everybody here has been doing everything that we've asked them to do to get this football team ready.
David, normally you should go to coach. I mean, have you ever seen a top quarterback be dealt with like you guys dealt with?
I've never been in a situation where I've had a quarterback to not go through the off season. So the point is, not going through the off season, especially with the nature of the way the league is right now, with the limited reps and the limited things that we can do during the offseason, is that we want to make sure during this ramp-up period that nothing happens, you know? I mean, guys throw too much, you know, guys' arms get sore, and we want to make sure none of those things happen.
All right, thanks, Coach.
You got it? Thank you all very much.
All right, that is head coach David Culley. And I didn't expect it to be great. But I do think it's an improvement from some of the moments prior. I mean, I think he did say some things that could come back to get him down the line. But I think he at least seemed to handle this better than he has before.
He handled it the best that he could. Look, the fact of the matter is that he shouldn't be put in that position. I mean, he handled it as and people will say, well, he's a head coach and he makes a bunch of money. Yeah, you're right. But I'm gonna tell you right now, there's no way that my experience with Bill Parcells, there's no way that Bill Parcells lets a situation happen where he has to then go talk to the media and field those kind of questions and make that kind of...
Or Jerry, right?
Well, no. Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about the coach. Like, the coach has the ability, usually has the ability to go, look, guys, I don't know what we're trying to do here, but, like, once camp starts, man, that practice, the 2.5 hours we're on the field, that's my time. And this is a distraction. And I don't want to field questions. I don't want to bounce around and duck and dodge questions. Just that's not a good idea, and it doesn't happen with David Culley. I don't know that David Culley has the ability to necessarily make that call, but unfortunately he's got to face the music, and it's a bad look when he does.
They did everything that we didn't think they should do or actually think they would do, but they did it. Clint will tell you exactly what that is coming up next in Clint Stoerner's Football at 4.